You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by Sarah Reinhart. You can learn more about Sarah and read her awesome writing over on snoringscholar.com. This morning, Sarah and I are going to just spend a little time chatting about a book that we've both read, and I absolutely love it. I don't know how Sarah feels about it yet. I haven't talked to her, but I'm guessing she must have something about it that she likes because we decided to talk about it. That's Fearless by Sonia Corbett. It's kind of hard for my New Englandist to say Sonia. And Sonia is a good friend, and she was here to talk about the book when it came out last year, but really excited today. It was out last November, if wow. I remember correctly. But welcome, Sarah.
Hey.
Good to have you here.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Time
flies. I have to say, there's a couple of new books coming out from Ave Maria Press that I've seen my fellow bloggers getting to read early, and I'm kind of a little jealous, kind of a little sad. I used to be on that. I used to be in that loop, and this time I didn't get. Pat Golan's book is coming out any minute now, and I know Maria Johnson's book is
well. Hers is. I was actually asked to endorse it, which is
nice.
I'm not even bragging. I was going to ask her because she's a dear friend of mine. Going to ask her if I could read the book. And I thought, I can be patient. I can wait. And as it happens, I don't have to. So I actually I'm a princess enough to actually ask for the Word document so that it comes up correctly on my Kindle because PDFs get funky on my I have an old Kindle. I don't use a tablet. Anyway, so I was sitting in between basketball games, didn't have the toddler with me, and was like, oh, I can read. So I took a picture, and Maria's a big fan of basketball. I took a picture with like a background of the court, and I actually texted it to her. I'm like, I can't wait. It's I'm not even past the introduction. I had about 30 seconds to read as it happened, but it was a fun idea to have.
Yes. I'm excited. I mean, I'm always excited for new books from my friends. Yes. So we just talked before we went live that I was, you know, working on my own kind of proposal back in 2015. And I realized like 2 years have already passed and Allison hasn't done anything. So I'm always in awe by these women that I love who have time and they find the time to get these books written. But you know what? It's what God's called them to do. You know, sometimes it's accepting what God has called you to do isn't
what
you want to do. But we don't have to go there today. But that does actually have to do with today's topic because, you know, a lot of this book is called Fearless, and a lot of what I struggle with is fear and this overwhelming kind of sometimes a cloud over my head, like I'll never accomplish what I need to accomplish in the light time I have here on earth. But that's like making me more important than God, which I tend
to do. That's a good reminder, and I think this book is a reminder of that. I am a fangirl of Sonia's, and I've gotten to know her a little bit personally because I can't help it, and somehow our paths crossed. I think I sent her an email after her last book, and I was listening to her. She used to be a guest on Catholic Vitamins, and I don't know if she still is because I don't listen to podcasts the way I used to. It's a funny thing about how life changes, but listening to her talk on that put her voice in my head. And then I read her book, her first book, and it just sort of slayed me. And I felt the same with Fearless. Like, she speaks to me. I don't know who else she speaks to, obviously more because she has a book
she's
with
awesome.
A publisher, but something about how she speaks. And even there's a way she has conversationally in the book of saying, dear one, I'm not sure I would let anybody else get away with that. I would probably be like, you know what? Shut up and call me by my name. But she says, dear one. And I just really feel like it's almost like God using her voice to say, I love you, Sarah. And that's a message that I usually plug my ears to and don't hear. So
maybe it's the Southern accent. The Southern accent's very, got lots of hospitality to it. She actually has a new, her podcast is called Bible Study Evangelista. If you go to Bible Study Evangelista or SoniaCorbett.com, you can learn more. And it, she does, her voice is very inviting. It's very hospital. You just, you want to hear what she says. And her understanding of the scriptures is what really drew me to her, because she is a convert, and her love of the scriptures. I'm new to the scriptures. And so in reading the Bible, I don't have all of the intricacies that she does when she reads it, and the way that she explains it. You're like, oh, aha moment after aha moment, and seeing how much God loves me and how he shows that to me through his word. That's kind of what drew me to the Bible Study Evangelista, Sonia Corbett. So what are your overall thoughts, you know, before we jump into kind of specifics about Fearless?
I feel like, and I don't often feel this way. So this is a book about, like, the subtitle. There's two subtitles.
I'm
don't
like,
know
there's a subtitle here. I just went to look for it.
I don't know how you get away with this, but she has two subtitles on the book. So the one underneath the title is A Catholic Woman's Guide to Spiritual Warfare. Normally I would look at that and go, not for me, because I'm going to just see war everywhere and it's going to make me dramatic. But then at the top, like on the top right, there's like this area, and it says, conquer your demons with and love with abandon. And I just how many of us have, like, maybe not a demon, like, so let's think of that guy in scriptures who was, he was so possessed that it took like a herd of swine to take care of, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Jumped off into the but so we all have demons, though, like we all struggle. And then that love with abandon, like I don't know, there's always parameters on my love. So something about that subtitling actually kind of grabbed me. And then I know Sonia's writing, so I was excited about it. I loved it. I actually marked in crayon in it. when a book is good enough, I can't keep myself from marking passages. And this is a book that I wanted to talk to you about first. And second, I know I'm going to write about it more than once.
Absolutely.
So knowing that, I don't know that I even read it more carefully, but she's such a good, this book really captured me in a way that probably nonfiction often doesn't capture me.
I think I love how authentic she is.
Yes.
And like, she just puts herself out there, like, this is who I am. This is what's happened. And I think I can relate to that, because I think there's a part of me, especially in Catholic ministry, that wants to put up a little facade sometimes, because I don't want people to know exactly how crazy I am, because they might then not be so drawn to find Christ through what he says through me, either in word or in when I'm speaking out loud. But I think that in being that authentic, that is what people, how people find Christ. Because I don't know about you, but I used to worry that God would only love me when I perfected myself.
And
you know, reading the scriptures, especially Romans 8, says, you know, while I was still a sinner, while I was still a train wreck, he loved me enough to send his son. And he loves me in my train wreckness, and that there's only perfection in heaven. And so I don't have to be anyone more than who I am. And and that's filled with lots of demons, where I think a group of swine could definitely take care of it, as long as they come back and give me bacon.
Well, they went over the cliff into the water, so it'd be wet bacon.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I don't want wet bacon. I just want, I can fry that right out of that.
Well, that's true. That's true, I guess.
I might be a little hungry this morning, Sarah.
They were dead, at least. But
I just want...
I really enjoyed reading it. And I can see this as the kind of book, I've gotten myself to the point where now I'm careful about books I read, but I'm also much more likely to give away even good books I've read before, because I can see how books can become something like a thing, right? Mm-hmm. A dear friend of mine just moved from a house with her family where she raised her kids to this little tiny apartment, and she had to get rid of all kinds of things. And watching her through that process and realizing that books are just one more thing that we have, and maybe I need to be less attached to them. This is a book I'm probably going to keep, because just the way Sonia reads scripture too. Like I was raised not Catholic, and her understanding of scripture and her way of diving into it is familiar to me, and also comforting.
Yes.
I like that, I guess.
I, one of the things that she introduces in the book, which I had never thought of before, is taking a line of scripture and then emphasizing, reading it again and again and again, and emphasizing one different word, a different word at a time. Yeah, that was brilliant. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." That's 2 Timothy 1:7. It's really very powerful one that the Lord used in my own life to bring me forward out of my fear into ministry. And to sit with that in adoration and use and emphasize one word at a time, you know, "For God did not give," and then "God did not give," you know, "For God did not give," and then get to that word timidity, which also stands for fear, cowardness, and to know that God has given me this great, through his grace and his grace alone, this great power to overcome my fears, to be who he created me to be, warts and all. And again, yes, Sonia brings out that so beautifully in her book. And we're reading today with Sarah Reinhart, the book Fearless by Sonia Corbett. I'm going to give you the link to that in the show notes. When Sonia visited and talked about this book with me, it was probably one of my favorite interviews ever. She's just so much fun to speak with. And I think that my northernness with her southernness and her conversion with my reversion, my cradle Catholic, I think we just made a really good pair. And it was like a really great interview that I want to share with you. We come back, we're going to pick up with some, who are you? Yeah, Sarah Reinhart. too many S's today. I have in front of you Sarah Reinhart, snoring scholar, and then Sonia Corbett, Fearless, Ave Maria Press. Just too many S's for my Monday morning brain. Stay tuned. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm talking this morning with Sarah Reinhart from SnoringScholar.com, and we are looking at Sonia Corbett's new book from Ave Maria Press, Fearless. Now, one of the subtitles is Conquer Your Demons. And in the beginning of the book, in the intro, she talks about like this domino effect kind of week in her life, couple weeks in her life, where it just seems like one thing hit her after another. And it reminded me of last fall when my father-in-law was passing away, my son was having a nervous breakdown, our financial crisis was hitting an all-time low. My son AJ, his best friend, committed suicide, and Adam was there.
I remember that.
Yeah, he got the message and he's like, "Dad, there's something not right." And, you know, he just happened, I mean, godsidence, like just happened to be driving right near his house. He said, "Dad, let's go check on him." They got there enough that he was alive, that they could get his last rites, that he became an organ donor. His family could say goodbye, but he was brain dead and he passed away. And we've known him. He was in my preschool when I used to teach preschool. So we've known him and his family since he was three. It was just a really horrific kind of September through December, because he died Christmas Day. It was just one of those, you know, bing, bang, boom, like one after. Mm-hmm. So reading Sonia's intro, I was like, yes, I get that. Like I get when it just feels like everywhere you turn, you're being attacked, and you can feel like God has abandoned you, and, you know, where is he in all of this? But to recognize, and the hindsight, such a beautiful thing, to recognize that those things, I can't even believe we got through them, but we got through them with a grace and a strength that I was just surprised with, because I saw other people kind of going through the similar things, you know, one at a time around us, and they were kind of crumbling and really struggling. But to see like that, the God did not give us a spirit of timidity, and that in recognizing that in those struggles is not just the life thing that's happening, but there's also a spiritual aspect of it. I don't know if you've ever had an experience where you just felt like it's coming at all directions. Mm-hmm. And how did your faith kind of play in, kind of strengthen you through it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you wanted me to respond. I was kind of nodding. I was nodding along. You couldn't hear the rattle in my head. You know, she says something, and throughout the book, she says it first early, and then she says it later throughout the book. Fear is not from God ever. And the time that always comes back to me, and I can't believe it has been 2010, is when my brother-in-law, it was actually on Epiphany Sunday, we're coming home from Mass, and my husband's phone rang. I had my phone turned off or at home or something. Like for once in my life, I didn't have my phone on, but usually I turn it off during Mass. They called my husband to say, hey, Alan just, you know, he's not doing well. And we were, I remember exactly where we are, exactly how the sun was in the sky when the call came again, he died. Like just a sudden massive heart attack. He was like a year younger than my husband. And my sister-in-law is, you know, like a year and a half older than me, had two kids, you know, a fifth grader and a third grader at the time. And I mean, and they lived 1,000 miles away. And it just, and it did seem like a lot of things just in that one death, like a lot of things that whole year just kind of came flying at our family. And for me, I want to say it wasn't even my faith that got me through, and it wasn't necessarily my loss, but sometimes it's harder to watch people you love suffer like that. Like you can feel very helpless standing on the sidelines, but watching the faith of everybody else in the family and how that sort of surrounded and kept, like, not that there wasn't pain, there was always pain. I mean, it was incredibly painful. It's incredibly painful to talk about now, but it was, I watched my sister-in-law in particular, and this is a woman who's extremely strong spiritually and has been through, I would say this was like a capstone in her life, but I mean, I watched her bury a baby. I heard about how she had buried another baby, and to see her lose her husband and to just kind of have to be strong, and not to say she didn't sob and didn't battle bitterness and didn't, but to watch that happen and to then see her turn to her faith, even as she was ticked off at God and extremely hurt, you know, to me, it was like almost a lesson in how your faith, like it carries you through it, and you don't have to be happy about it when it's carrying you through it. I guess that's kind of, when I hear people say their faith carries them through it, previously, I'd always pictured it like your faith carries you through it and you're dancing and you have roses in your hair and everything is pretty and the sun is shining and there's like special music in the background and your teeth, you know, when you smile, it goes ding. That's right. So that's what I picture. But really, when we say our faith is carrying it through us, we should picture Gethsemane. We should picture Golgotha, you know, the cross and Mary standing at the foot of it. That's what it means to have our faith carrying it through us. And then to picture Easter Sunday and the empty tomb. That's what it means. It's not that there won't be that valley of tears or that trudging and that trench and that, you know, just harrowing heat of pain. But you will get, not just that you'll get through it, but on the other side of it, you know, you'll have been through the fire. You'll be formed by that. And not even trying to put a Pollyanna spin on it. I'm as middle finger up in the air about it as anybody I know. I mean, I talk to God in a way that probably I will pay for someday. I know I will pay for it someday. And yet,
that makes you very... But I do think
like I think you know, you think of how you read the Psalms. I mean, one of my signatures on one of my emails, it is scripture, and I'm pulling it up right now because I want to make sure I quote it to you correctly. It's from Proverbs, actually. Those who greet their neighbor with a loud voice in the early morning, a curse be laid to their charge. Makes me laugh. It's from Proverbs book, chapter 27, verse 14. But you know, like, we can go through the Bible and scripture. God doesn't give us all roses and skippy happy moments. You know, he gives us plenty of poopy pants and dirt under our fingernails and scraped knees and plenty of shaking our fists. You know, I mean, Jesus wasn't in Gethsemane skipping happily with, you know, olive oil on his fingertips. He was, you know, going, hey, can I please no.
Yeah, you know, exactly. If this cup can pass me by, take it from me.
Who among us had a 12-year-old hasn't thought that Mary probably just wanted to tan his hide after she
lost him? I can't even. I mean, I lose my kids for 2 seconds in the supermarket and I'm a mess.
I'm usually like, good. I'm joking.
I know you're joking. We used to say that, but my oldest son, Ian, if they find him, they'll return him in minutes because he was so difficult. He was what do they call him? A strong-willed child. So they would have returned him in moments. I think, last night I was rereading Sonia's book. There was I reread a lot of it, not the whole thing, but a lot of it, but just enough that the Lord was, he was being very cute with me. For instance, at one point she has the quote from James 4:7, says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I think that sometimes that's that point where, you know, we're going through the fire. That's what I was going to say. We're going through the fire. I'm going to get back to this resist in a minute, but let me go back to the fire part. You use this being purified by like gold in a fire. And that's from scripture, as you know, it's probably why you went there. And that idea that the gold becomes under the fire becomes a better version of itself, becomes a purer version of itself. And we may want to avoid the fire. Like, I know I hate suffering. I don't want to suffer.
No,
I want the Lord to remove all of it and just keep everything roses and puppy dogs. But that's
not pooping puppy dogs, by the way, house trained puppy dogs. Just to clarify.
Even roses come with thorns and puppies come with poop. So
sorry.
So there you go.
I live with the toddler people.
That's a perfect analogy. I was just thinking that as I'm saying roses and puppy dogs, I'm thinking, yes, they come with thorns and poop. there's no perfect thing.
You should rename your show.
Seeking thorns and poop.
Yeah. That could be a title of a book.
I think it could be, for sure. But, you know, in those moments, right, we become better versions of ourselves, that we become closer to God. We rely on him. And I think that part of my fear comes from me thinking it's all about me, which I really struggle with, thinking he doesn't care enough, or is he even there? Because I can't feel him. I can't touch him. And I think perhaps that's why I'm so drawn to God's evidences, because in those moments, I see him, I feel him. I'm like, there's no way I could have made that happen. In fact, that's what I was going to talk about. Resist the devil and he will flee you. The minute I read that, I thought to myself, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I called it my escape clause. We come back from the break. I'm going to talk about what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, why I call it my escape clause. And the coolest part was right after I wrote that in my notebook, I went back to reading and Sonia said the same thing. She brought up the same scripture and she talked about it being your escape clause. Huh? God's sentence. I know I read it before, but I read it last October. And let's face it, when you read a book a week, you don't remember exactly what the author said. So we come back. We're talking with Sarah Reinhart, snoringscholar.com. We're discussing Fearless, Sonia Corbett's book, and our own fears and anxieties and just the world around us and how the Lord gives us the strength to be under the pressure and be purified and yet still know that we are loved. That's the hard part, I think. It's just feel that you're not abandoned. He promises us, I won't abandon you. I won't forsake you. But when you're in the middle of it, kind of hard sometimes to believe that. We're going to come back with more with Sarah Reinhart. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinkris here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Oh. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking this morning about thorns and poop. No. But we, Sarah, I don't think we've had a show yet where we haven't mentioned the word poop.
I have a rep. And I live with a toddler. And you know, who isn't a little bit fascinated with poop? Come on.
It's been 2 years. We have to talk about poop, right? Every show for the 2 years I've had you on. We've talked about potties, going to the bathroom, reading in the bathroom, my favorite place to hide from my family.
Anyway, hey, if I'm hiding in the bathroom, there's going to be some poop talk. Just a fact. You're lucky I'm calling it poop and not anything else. Like manure.
Exactly. I don't know a person. I mean, you can say you don't read in the bathroom, but let's be honest. Everybody reads in the bathroom and everybody brings in their phone. Just saying. Or their Kindle. And that's why on Shark Tank, I'm addicted to Shark Tank right now. And there is a product where you had UV ray or some kind of ultraviolet rays that you could light, that you could put your phone in and it disinfected it. I need to get that because I'm a germaphobe and God knows where my phone's been. So we're
Wow. We learn all kinds of fun things about you today, Allison.
Yeah, you're welcome for that visual, Allison, on her phone in the bathroom. Not a public restroom, though. Just home.
Then.
Anyway, TMI, but that's what I'm here for.
We love you, Alice.
I'm glad.
We're talking about Sonia Corbett's latest book, Fearless, which you shouldn't be afraid to read in the bathroom. You're welcome,
exactly.
Sonia.
Exactly.
I can work on the marketing material here.
With thorns and poop. We were talking about resist the devil and he will flee from you. James, what a great letter James is. Can I just say, she quotes him a ton in here.
Well, I mean, she was raised not Catholic. If you're raised not Catholic, actually, that doesn't make sense. Never mind. She's yelling at her radio right now. Rebuking the devil out of me, I'm sure. I'm joking, Sonia. So what's kind of fun here is we know that Sonia is listening right now, so we can like involve her, but she can't talk back to us.
In fact, I have to share that we were talking about puppies and Sarah said they come with poop. I was thinking they come with poop and she sent me a message that they come with poop. Just at the same time. I love that.
So talk about this, James, in the 1 Corinthians 10:13.
You don't want to talk about poop anymore? You're no fun, Sarah.
Let's tie it in with scripture.
All right.
There's poop in scripture.
So the really cool thing about this was reading this, Resisting the Devil and He Will Flee From You. And it made me think instantly of 1 Corinthians 10:13. And that's that, you know, that no temptation will come to you beyond your strength. And when you're tempted, you know, God will provide you the way to escape, the way out. I'm giving you the Allison Abridged version of 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I've always called that my escape clause. And it goes to that saying that people say all the time, God never gives you more than you can handle. And you have to be careful, by the way, when you say that. You know, people think that this is a healing thing to say when someone's in the middle of a deep despair or fear or tragedy. You don't ever say,
no.
If you say this beforehand so that it's part of their repertoire, part of their tool, part of their self-speak when they're going through it. But you don't give it advice, just an FYI.
Just don't give advice to people who are hurting. Just hug them. That is my advice. Just hug
them. Be like Job's friends, right? Job's friends.
No,
at first,
Job's friends sucked.
No, at like, first they didn't. At
he
first,
had some of the worst friends ever.
But not at first. At first they were getting it. Just sit with him. Just be with him. It was then when they opened their mouth that they kind of completely fell off the cliff there. But it was kind of interesting to be reading and see, she writes, and I'm going to quote from her, "Once the devil is on the run, we want to keep him at bay. Remember that you're in his presence this very moment. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you formulate a way of escape. When the temptation to the sorrow assails you, maybe you can change your regular habits to avoid particular places, people, circumstances, or temptations." You know, and she talks about our predominant faults, those things that we are kind of drawn to. She talks about lying. For me, it was gossip. I don't know, Sarah, if it where
oh,
your
sin. I don't sin. Ha ha ha. Where do you want the list to start, sister? Well, you know, I gotta say, so my take on this is maybe a little different than yours. So yeah, I sin. Okay, guys, just everybody had to know that was total sarcasm. So you're coming at it from the dude. We can do this, right? We can get through this.
Yeah,
and I guess that's, for me, like, a little while later, she has a great, she references again scripture because, I mean, she's the scripture evangelista. She says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart," which is Galatians 6:9. Mm-hmm. And then she follows that up with some commentary, and she says, "God does not grow weary or lose patience with us, no matter how frequently we succumb to the sorrow." Or, might I add, or the sin. Like, God is not like me as a parent when I'm, like, gonna kill the kid who leaves that dirty pair of underwear in the middle of the bathroom flipping floor. No, God is like maybe the grandparent who's like, "Oh, honey, I'll pick it up. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay." Like, God won't discipline us, but rather, for me, it's that. And maybe it's just I need the ongoing message of unconditional love, because so much of my experience, and maybe this is probably a human condition, seeing conditions on everything, you know, that seeing limits. There is no limit to God's love for us. So she kind of circles it back around to, all right, number one, God's not going to give you more than you can carry. And I realize that that's not necessarily all that soothing.
No,
like you're carrying a horse on your back.
Yes.
On the other hand, when you give into the sin that might be putting the horse on your own back, mind you, it might be your own fault the horse is on your back, God isn't frustrated with you. I mean, if you read the Old Testament with any time invested in it, and she goes through this in great depth too with great hilarity. I so enjoyed that. Like the Israelites, we can make fun of them until we're blue in the face, and I often do. But oh my goodness, if you have children, or if you've worked, or if you've had a roommate. I mean, really, if you've lived, if you've dealt with other human beings in your life, you know, who doesn't relate with reading about the Israelites and going, "Dude, God must be pulling his hair out." No, for one thing, God must be bald like Mr. Clean. For another thing, you know, God does not weary of us. Yes. So we shouldn't lose faith, you know, lose heart. Mm-hmm. And I really found that message. Like she lays it out for us, like, dude, here are the facts. And you're like, "Oh, I knew," you know, kind of like when you take your car into the shop, you know, and you're like, "Oh, I knew it was going to be bad news." On the other hand, here's my open checkbook, you know, here, you've got as much money as you need, which, okay, I'm mixing all kinds of metaphors in a terrible way.
Mix away.
I'm making some kind of weird yucky soup, of course.
Well, I was thinking about this escape.
Very, very hopeful. Like, it's very, it makes me feel peace to some extent to know, like, I'm going to screw up. It's a given. Guaranteed. I might screw up better or in a different way. You know, like, I'm taking little baby steps on that path to holiness, but God's going to remain patient with me and steadfast, and he will still be there. And by the way, he's still going to be carrying my lazy butt, you know. But I love how she did that. She like balances the way, and the message for me underneath was constantly, you know, God loves you. Well, must be in priesthood. So,
and that fear that doesn't come from God, that was a really great message to hear.
Fear is never from God. Yeah. And that makes you stop because, I mean, what is anxiety but fear? You're being afraid of fear, right? I mean, what is anxiety but a form of fear?
Yes.
And worry is the same. Like, I'm worried. Well, then I'm afraid ahead of myself. So, you know, that's not from God.
No. In fact, I put on my Reconcile to You Facebook page, and I'm trying to furiously find it. It was this wonderful quote, and I'm going to just give you the Allison abridged version. But if you go to reconciledtoyou.com on Facebook, oh, God is so good. I found it. Oh, hello, God. Depression. This is just so perfect. Depression, she writes, is caused by our living in the disorder of the past. Anxiety is caused by our living in the disorder of the future. Peace comes from dependence on God because I am is always in, wait a minute, I have the non-proofread. So because I am always in the present, because God is always.
Well, God, I am is God's name, right? Look, so he said, when they said, "What's your name?"
Oh, when, because it's not. So
his name is I am. So it's I A M, all caps.
Oh,
like I space A M. Yeah, I know. Where, okay. I wish I could
it
find the
be.
Quote.
I'm
curiously looking through my book to find the quote. But I know what you're talking about. Like he's and for me, there's great peace in that. Like, so, OK, if I'm afraid, I'm in the past. If I'm anxious, I'm in the future. Dude, I'm supposed to be right now. It's like that right. old saying that's on greeting cards and stuff. The past is behind you. The future is in front of you. The only gift you have is the present or something.
Yes.
Or the present is a gift. I'm saying it completely butchered. but you know, that's we need that reminder, especially when we're so often distracted. I mean,
absolutely.
How often are we not living in the present moment? That's the only difference we can make ever is now.
And how many things do we worry about that actually happen? Like barely any of them, thank God. But I know that I spend way too much time thinking of the what ifs instead of living in this moment, letting God take care of it. One of my favorite new quotes I just learned is this prayer. You know, I will think of everything. You think of only loving me, that Jesus said. Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls. It's the ceaseless act of love. And to keep reminding myself, just spend my time focusing on loving God, and he's going to take care of the rest. He's proved it to me again and again. But yet in my sin and my temptation and my worldliness, I forget that God is there and he's got me. We've got more with Sarah Reinhart, snoringscholar.com, talking about Sonia Corbett's book, Fearless. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Sarah Reinhart, snoringscholar.com, and we're discussing Fearless by Sonia Corbett, Ave Maria Press. Before we go to the next part that we're going to share with Sarah, I just wanted to just wrap up our last segment. I was thinking about this escape clause and how we need to avoid those things that lead us into temptation. My thing was gossip, so I gave up the PTO. And but I did. It's a true story. Even then, I ended up homeschooling my kids because I still kept falling into it. But you were talking about the Israelites, and I kept thinking about how they went around in circles, and then but they eventually got where they were going. So that's kind of how I am with my sins, especially the ones that I struggle with the most, like gossip. Like I went around in circles. Like I would pray, I would go to confession, I would move on from it, and then something would drag me back in and go around and around in circles. But eventually, I have been able to eradicate that behavior from my life, praise God, and because I'm more of a faithful friend now. Before, I wasn't exactly somebody you wanted to share stuff with. And that's kind of how I came out of it. The Lord kind of revealed to me, like, you're praying for a good friend, but yet you're not somebody can rely on. So why would they become your friend? So anyway, through God's grace, through confession, through the sacraments, prayer, and scripture, the Lord brought me out of that circle chasing my tail to where I needed to be. So sometimes it's 40 years to get you there. Sometimes it's a little quicker. Let's move on now to talk about the fearless resistance and the act of distractions in our life, Sarah, that you were sharing with me before we went to commercial.
Well, this is something that I think, like, if we aren't the most distracted people in the history of ever, you know, I mean,
yes.
Who isn't smiling as they, you know, mm-hmm. do their dishes, listen to their iPod, talk on the phone, and scratch their head, you know? but she mentions distractions as she's got a whole paragraph, and I actually marked it in my book. You know, she said, aren't distractions palliative? Doesn't every problem get worse the longer you ignore it?
Wait, what?
Wouldn't you rather be happy than seem happy? Don't diversions terminate our progress and delay preparation for the eternity beyond the silent sunken mound and the stone with a few words on it? That old saying, you can't take it with you, is untrue. Wait, what? Everything you entrust to Jesus will be kept for eternity in him. Whoa. What will you leave behind? Undone, unrealized, unfulfilled, because you were unwilling to resist the onslaught of distractions and prepare it for eternity. Okay, that's time to quit reading, time to put the book down, time to go play with my phone in the bathroom. Not that you called me out on that or anything. But then at the end of the chapter, so I'm gonna spare you, oh gentle listener, about 25 pages of reading. And at the very end, so at the end of every chapter, she has like this God prompt. And I, you know, a lot of books now, very popular nonfiction genre of spiritual reading, to have questions and activities at the end of every chapter. And I'm the person reading who like skips those because I have found them to not be helpful. Typically, they make me roll my eyes and feel like a seventh grader again. This book, I give Sonia full credit. This book, her God prompts are like a section in themselves. Her questions, I mean, even if you just read through them, like I skimmed through them the first time and went, whoa, I need to go back and actually read them. I mean, she's like talking with you as she is asking you questions, and it's fabulous. So she talks about how she was at a women's group in Minnesota and was speaking at a retreat, and this woman named Betty, and I love this lady's name is Betty, by the way. This woman named Betty said that she does this thing. They were talking about spiritual warfare. One of the participants shared a daily calisthenic ritual she does as part of her morning prayer and offering. And I was like, morning calisthenic, you know, like what? So
yeah, I do that too. It's called getting up, going to the Keurig, getting the coffee, and sitting my butt back down.
Right. So she says, I'm going to actually go through and read it because I was so struck by it. I folded the page over. Stand up with your arms stretched out to your sides. Look up and imagine the armor falling onto you piece by piece. Clink, clink, clink. I wish I was a boy because my boys would be able to like actually clink goodly, like, you know, so that it sounded like clinking. Make wide circles around your waist, front to back, and say, stand ready with truth as a belt tight around your waist. And then in parentheses, she says, the truth is I am a child of God. He made me. I belong to him. I am his. Then you cross your arms over your chest as if you're receiving a blessing at communion and say, with righteousness as your breastplate. With palms up, extend your arms downward toward your feet and say, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. Turn around in a circle and say, at all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. Put your arms over your head to make a hat and say, accept salvation as a helmet. Then you lift one arm as if you're brandishing a sword. And like, how fun would that be in the morning? Because make sure it's not your coffee hand. Brandishing a sword and say, and the word of God is a sword which the Spirit gives you. Then you make prayerful hands and say, do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And that is from Ephesians 6. Verses 14 through 18. And for me, I mean, okay, I've got little preschoolers. So there's that part of me that's like, oh, I've also got little boys. So this idea of fighting is always in my life because boys approach the world that way in a very, but I love that, like making it physical, you know, like how often do we just like our prayer is a very, you know, either you're closing your eyes or you just kind of like pause in your head. It's an in your head moment, right? Prayer doesn't have to be an in your head moment. You can be like picking your toenails and praying. Okay, I should think of something. You can be scrubbing a dish. And sometimes like I'll be scrubbing that dish to put in the dishwasher or scrubbing the dish that came out of the dishwasher still caked with stuff because. And, you know, you can say a Hail Mary, like, sad but true, the Hail Mary has become over the years like kind of that prayer when I'm kind of catching myself dead brained, I'll just throw out the Hail Mary. But
It's a beautiful prayer. It's a good one to pull from.
I love this idea of like making that such a habit. Like, and even if you're not mentally with it, when you're doing that, there's something really, I can see the devil going, oh no, not again. You know, I mean, can't you just picture like all the things going on we can't see? You know, I want to watch the video of that later.
That's awesome.
So I picture this little old, you know, Betty makes me think of Betty White. So I picture this little white-haired lady who's about 4 feet tall and, you know, doing this and these little, you know, demons running away going, oh no, not that again. You know, anyway, sorry.
You know, I was not brought up with scripture at all. And one of the things when I was invited to someone's house to do the Purpose Driven Life, wonderful ecumenical book. And I started to read the scriptures for the very first time in my life. And they talked about memorizing scriptures. And I thought, I'll never be able to memorize these. And why? I have like my phone or my Bible. I can just open it. And then I had this vision of Jesus on the cross. And of course, he couldn't have reached for a scroll at that moment. There's moments where you feel nailed to the cross and you need to have these embedded in your heart so that you can pull from them in the moment that you need them. And having these different scriptures that God speaks especially to my heart and they become part of my repertoire, you know, worry about nothing, but have anxiety and nothing, but pray about everything and cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares about you. Like, these are the ones, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. These have become part of who I am and where I pull from when I feel, you know, that power, that struggle really like pulling me down, and it's I'm clothed in them. As you're saying this, mm-hmm. I'm thinking like, this is how we use this sword. This is how we clothe ourselves in the Lord, is by picking one, maybe like this Lent is coming. Lent is right around the corner. Maybe picking,
Shh.
I
it's
love
a
Lent.
Word. We don't
favorite
use
time of
words.
The year. Favorite time of the year. You know, picking.
I love you anyway.
It's just, I can't wait for it. And I'm so excited. I'm going to be doing Why Women in the New Evangelization. I'm going to be doing The Walk in Her Sandals on Facebook.
We're talking about Sonia's book. Hush
so excited about that. No, I can't help it. So excited.
No, stop
but
it.
We, you know, to pick one book or one, you know, scripture this Lent to memorize and let that become part of your escape plan, you know, part of how you battle fear and the demons in your heart. So, Sarah, we're coming to the end of this segment. So this our time together. What's your final thoughts on Fearless?
I was really touched at the very end of the book, and I've got this like starred in green pen because that's what I had near me. Get with God, get outside, get to church, get in the Word, and get moving. And she just summarizes it, and you know, Jesus is your peace.
Amen.
Boom. You know, she just kind of closes it out, and yeah, this is Jesus. A book worth getting. This would be a good Lenten read.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking that. So I just said that a second ago. Absolutely. You know, if there's something that you're struggling with, you know, that you really need to battle and conquer, Fearless, Sonia Corbett, Ave Maria Press, fabulous book. Sarah, thank you so much for suggesting we talk about Fearless today. This has been a very insightful conversation. And thanks for listening in, Sonia, today. We've been talking this morning with Sarah Reinhart, snoringscholar.com. You can learn more about Sarah by visiting snoringscholar.com. Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.